أمير المؤمنين يا شاه مردان، يا شاه مردان، يا شاه مردان، دلنا شاد ما رشاد و گردان، مولا علی جان، مولا علی جان.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. قال الله تعالى وقوله الحق، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أجعلتم سقاية الحاج وإمارة المسجد الحرام كمن آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وجاهد في سبيل الله لا يستوون عند الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. الذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم أعظم درجة عند الله وأولئك هم الفائزون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. First of all, congratulations to all of you, and on your behalf to the Imam of our time, on the birth of the first line of Imamat, the first light of Imamat, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. And these two ayat that I read for you are from Surah Barat, also known as Surah Tawbah, which is the 9th chapter of the Quran. And these two ayats have been descended in praise of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, obviously, just let me tell you a story. If you'll listen to a story, so let me explain a story for you, and probably we can go into the translation of this ayat. There were these two guys who were arguing with each other and debating with each other. It was a heated debate. You all got that? Oh, you got it? All right, good. Just want to make sure everyone's paying attention now. Two guys debating with each other about who's better. So they're bringing forth their argument. They're bringing forth what they think is the reason why I'm better than you. And the other guy is saying, no, I'm better than you. You know? And so what happened is that one of them comes out with the argument saying that I'm better. Why? Because I feed the Hajis. Hajis who come here from everywhere, I quench their thirst. I give them water. The other person said, oh yeah, you give them water, well here, I protect the Kaaba. I have the keys to the Kaaba and I am protecting and guarding the Kaaba. They both are arguing with each other. And this is a source of pride for them. For one person, it is that he is quenching the thirst of Hajis. And for the other person, it is that he is protecting the Kaaba. I mean, would that be an honor for you to come forward and to protect the Kaaba? I mean, the royal scumbags of Saudi, they pride themselves in being what? Khadimul Haramain, right? Servants of the Kaaba. So the scumbags pride themselves of being guardians of the Kaaba, servants of the Kaaba. So it is a source of honor, right? So as these two are in a heated debate, so Imam Ali was walking by. He just happened to be walking by and he overheard the debate, and they saw him, and they asked him to come and say, hey, we're debating who's better. Is he better, me better, this and that. Now, obviously, Imam Ali does not indulge in these type of things. But this time he indulged for a reason. He said, all right, let's see this. He says, well, you know, I feed the Hajis. All right, good. The other guy said, I have the keys to the Kaaba and I protect the Kaaba. And they asked Imam Ali, well, you know, listen, we do these things. What about you? Are you better than us? And Imam Ali said, yes. Yes? What do you do? So Imam Ali said, well, I mean, nothing much, but here's what I do. He says, I believe in the Messenger of Allah. I believe in the Messenger of Allah. I believe in that. So he said, is that better than what we do? And they said, you know, we don't agree with it. Okay. You know, and here's what happens. When you don't agree with Imam Ali, you know, here's what he does. He doesn't argue with you. We need to learn a lesson here. When we give them knowledge or hadith or ayat, and they said, I don't agree, said, all right, you know what? Let's go to the next step. You know what the next step was? Imam Ali said, all right, I'm not going to argue with you on that. If we have a disagreement, if we don't agree with each other, let's go to the Prophet. Let's go to Rasulullah. And they went to him. They went to the Prophet. And when they went to the Prophet, these two ayat were revealed. These two ayat were revealed. And in that ayat, it says, أَجَأَلْتُمْ سَقَايَةَ الْحَاجِ. Allah is saying this now. Do you make those who quench the thirst of Hajis? Saqaya, from the word saqa, like saqa. Saqa means the one who gives water. It's one of the title of Abul Fadl Abbas. Right? Saqa. So from there, a saqayat al-hajj. Aja'altum saqayat al-hajj. Are you putting those people who give water to the Hajis? Wa imarat al-masjid al-haram. And those who are protecting and guarding the Kaaba, Masjid al-haram. He says, kaman amana billahi wal yawm al-akhir. Like those people who believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment. وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And they struggle in Allah's way. Do you put these two together and you compare these two? My friends, understand this is important. Why? Because from here, there's a lot of things we need to understand about our own faith and our own ideology and us and our relationship with Imam Ali. Because there have been mistakes that have been made, and we need to clear those mistakes, and that's what I want to go into. But first, let's understand this. So you got the idea, two groups. There's a dispute going on. What is the dispute about? On one hand, Allah is saying, okay, having the keys to the Kaaba, having the title of protecting the Kaaba is a rank, it's a status. Iman and jihad is a service. So here, the battle is between status and service. Is status more important or is service more important? Understand this. This is the battle. A lot of people, they don't want service, they want status. There are some people who don't want status, they want service. You see the two things. Understand this very well. You know, some people say, you know, for example, they live for status. I want to become the president, or the secretary, or the treasurer, the board of director, board of trustee. It's a status. It's a rank. Right? And then you have what? You have service. Those who have faith and they do the struggle in Allah's path. They work for Allah's cause. They do things for Allah's sake. And so what happened is that these two are in question and dispute. Which one is more important? And now Allah gives the verdict. Allah is the judge and He gives the verdict. And He says what? La yastawuna inda Allah. These two are not equal in the eyes of Allah. These two are not equal in the eyes of Allah. So Allah, You tell us what is more important. What is more important? Then Allah gives His declaration and says, Alladhina amanu, those who believe, wahajaru, and those who migrate, leave their homes, wajahadu fi sabilillah, and struggle in Allah's way, bi amwalihim wa anfusihim, by laying down their wealth and laying down their lives, Allah says, أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً إِنْدَ اللَّهِ, they have a greater place with Allah. They have a greater place with Allah. In other words, the question here, my friends, is this. This ayat is specifically speaking about Amir al-Mu'mineen and generally speaking about every mu'min who follows the path of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. In Imam Ali's life, Allah is describing the life of Imam Ali in this ayat with five things. Five things He's describing the life of Imam Ali. One, Iman Billah. He has faith in Allah. Yes. He has faith in Allah and faith in the Day of Judgment. Now, you see, a lot of times, I want you to see the answer of Allah and the reply that Imam Ali gave. You know what Imam Ali had said? When they said, how are you better? So Imam Ali said, because I believe in Rasulullah. I believe in Rasulullah. And Allah is saying that he is better who believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment. Allah does not mention Rasulullah. Allah does not mention the Prophet or the Messenger. He mentions Allah and the Day of Judgment. My friends, understand this. Whenever Allah mentions Allah and the Day of Judgment, He is summarizing Usuluddin for you, so He doesn't have to say all of them. He is saying the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, so that you can understand that everything in between is included. Whenever he says, believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment, it means that whatever comes from Allah and whatever is taking you to the Day of Judgment. All of that is included, and hence, in other words, what is between Allah and the Day of Judgment is the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt. And I'll come back to this, and because this is the point I want to raise later on, right, in speech. So if you just bear with me here, I want to go through this. So then we can reach something that is, you know, effective and important and pertinent for us. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allah describes the life of Imam Ali in these five things. Believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment. Jahadu fi sabilillah, and does jihad in Allah's way with his wealth and his life. He says, this is Ali. You want to know who Ali is? Look at Ali and you'll see these five things in him. My friends, Allah described the life of Imam Ali, and Imam Ali led his life. And Allah says, Ulaika humul faizun. These are those who are successful. Imam Ali lived his life. You know it. Let me make it brief. A person who was fasting, the Hajjud praying terrorist struck him. Yes, Ibn Muljim is a terrorist who makes his namaz ishab on time, prays and reads Quran and does all those things. He's the one who struck Imam Ali. When Ibn Muljim struck Imam Ali, And this is the first thing that, you know, death blow, right, goes in. Imam Ali said, Fuzto bi Rabbil Kaaba. He says, what? Fuzto bi Rabbil Kaaba. Let me put it in plain English. You know what this means? You know, it means victory at last. Success. That's what it means. You know, when you strike it big, you said, yes, victory at last. That's what Imam Ali is saying. Victory at last. My friends, Fuzto is the tafsir of Ulaika humul faizun. Faizun, who are victorious? Who are the ones? Imam Ali is saying, Fuzto, I'm victorious. I am successful. La ilaha illallah. My friends, brothers and sisters, you know, when you say something at the end of your life, when you know this is the end, and you say something, you see, it is a summary of all your life, your whole life put together. All of us go through different experiences in life. All of us. We have different experiences in life. Some people, you know, see some things and are affected by some things. For example, a person goes through life, he went through a battle, or he went through some sort of oppression. Like for example, you see refugees, you have come to America. You know any people who came from Afghanistan and Iraq? Now you see the war that's going on in Yemen. Innocent people are being killed. You see, now what happens when these incidents happen in your life, such things that are out of the normal and completely drastic, they have a huge effect on your life, and now that incident becomes the core of your life. Everything is thought of and judged by that incident in your life that has affected your life the most. Now you see, you live your life according to that. You live your life thinking about that. That becomes a thing. That's why you see, for example, people in America who lived through the Great Depression, you see, they were very miserly and stingy people. Right? Because they faced a time when there was shortage. And so it affected their thinking and how they lived their lives. And they saved a lot of money. Now, when they saved a lot of money, so obviously they leave the money behind to the next generation, which then became the baby boomers. Right? Because they had a lot of money to spend. And they didn't see the Great Depression. It happens. People are affected by different things that now become the core of their thinking and their life. My friends, Imam Ali, when he is saying Fuzto, he is describing the core of his life. And that life, the core of his life, is just these things that Allah described. The secret of success, belief in Allah and the Day of Judgment, and jihad in Allah's way with your wealth and your life. This, in summary, is the life of Imam Ali. Yes. Now each of these things, you know, has its own, there are books that can be written on it, right? But let me now, from here, take you to this, my friends. Imam Ali is incomparable. It is said, in hadith, it has been said that you cannot compare Imam Ali to the beings of heaven nor the beings of earth. No one can be compared to Imam Ali. When you say, you know, la yuqas, meaning that no one can be compared to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is that. But here's the thing. How much of him is affecting our life? Now here's what we need to discuss, my friends. What is our relationship with him? What is our relationship with Ahlul Bayt? Now, Allah has said that your relationship with Ahlul Bayt should be of love. Of mawaddat, of love, right? Isn't that right? That's the way it is. It should be of love. And that's how Ahlul Bayt wanted us to deal with them, through love. And because of this love, we were strange for others. Others could not understand us. But then what happened? Some of us, armed with little knowledge and shallow understanding, went forward and started to identify or describe this love in a very non-loving way. And now that love was taken away. We were supposed to build on this love, not to get rid of it and start doing something else. Now we were loving Ahlul Bayt, and then you see, and we are forever thankful for a person like Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, who showed us a real, beautiful, different aspect of love that made this love grow more in us. And so now, we understood that. What does this love mean? Wow, what does love mean? It means the wilayat, it means the attachment to Imam Zaman. And our hearts yearning for him. It went deeper. And we understood deeper. We wanted to go further. But then what happened? Some people now made a whole different idea of what this actually meant. And the reason I'm saying this is because recently, some youngsters, I guess many youngsters, in speaking to them, I hear something very disturbing. And this is what needs to be said here. Very disturbing. Whatever the reason is, maybe it's the internet, maybe it's their interaction with other Muslims and other people and all these things. Some things that they have learned and they spoke of it in front of me alarmed me to an extent that I said, wow. Because there are certain things that should have been basic, should have been understood. For example, you know, that Imam Ali is our master and that we love him, that we follow him. And our heart and our mind is bowed down before him. There shouldn't be any big thing about that. But nowadays, what's happening is this, my friends. When you say something about Imam Ali and things that we say about Imam Ali, our own youngsters, because of the interaction that they're having with people outside, are looking at them saying, Astaghfirullah, this is like shirk. So what? Shirk? Where did you get that word from? You know, Allah says that in the Quran, this is shirk. wait a minute. Calm down here. come on, guys. Chillax, you know. Take it easy. What's going on with you all? You know? Yeah, right away. You know, like for example, when we say, you know, like Allah gave his pleasure to Imam Ali. Astaghfirullah. You know, this really looks... Yeah, close, like we are trying to make Imam Ali as God. It's like, wait, you know. Then I had to really look at those kids and say, you know, are you all Shia? Yeah. And now you have to talk to them like you talk to other Muslims who don't understand the path of love. When did we stop loving? The whole idea was love, and our deen is based on love. That's why others never understood it. Our faith in Tawheed is based on love. That's why others never understood it. They understood Tawheed through obedience. We understood Tawheed through love. That was the difference, my friends. And so now what happened is that these people came forward, and as I said, some people armed with little knowledge and shallow understanding never learned and went forward and started giving lectures instead of majlis. And those lectures now became, you know, this dry idea of what Islam is. Because my friends, let me tell you an experience that we have in America. One of the experiences we have in America is that we saw that the Islam of Ahlul Bayt, and you know what I'm talking about, the Islam of Ahlul Bayt is the only deen here we saw where the second and third generation of people are actually holding on to. Every other brand of Islam is a one generation Islam. Father, the parents become Muslim, but their kids cannot. The kids go away. And that's the problem they're having in every masjid here. You know why they're having that problem? Because in those masjid, there's obedience, there's no love. There's no attachment of love. Here, there's an attachment of love. If we take that love away from us, if we start putting down this love, then you know what will happen. You know, our kids don't have an attachment anymore. How long are you going to tell them pray 5 times a day? How long are they going to go on praying? They can pray 6,000 years, but a time will come when they will disobey. Yes. You see, Shaitan prayed for 6,000 years, right? And when the time came, he disobeyed. The 6,000 years of prayers could not keep him under the umbrella of Allah's wilayat. This is it, my friend. This is what we have to discuss right now. And I know these are basic things. Very basic things for many of you who are elders and who have been complaining, hey, what are you making of this religion? You know? And yes, some people did not do right by that. Instead of growing in the love, they were trying to grow without or in spite of it. And that led to many people not being, for example, when you hear Ahlul Bayt, your heart should warm up. It should warm up. When you hear about Imam Ali, you should be like, you know, that's it, I'm in glee, my day is made. Alhamdulillah. Because the name of Imam Ali had been taken in front of me, I heard it. That's why I'm so happy today. To the fact that 1,000 times we say Imam Ali, but no effect is in our heart. There's something wrong here. And that's why we need to now go back to basics. So my friends, just a few things I will mention here. And these are basic things, as I said. We all know this. And I apologize for those people who have heard it before. But it's very important that I reiterate these things in a gathering like this. So that this is the proper time and place and opportunity for me to mention these things. Things that have to do with Ahlul Bayt and the love of Ahlul Bayt and our understanding of what Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet and his family means. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Because our youngsters who are going online, because of the fact that they have to deal with people who don't understand love, now they have to apologize for them for things that we do because they don't understand these things that we do or we have. My friends, understand this. Our path is a path of love. Love is not understood by logic. Logic leads to love. But at the end, it has to give up and give itself up to love so that love can take it forward. We know of love, but we don't understand the logic of love. And I'm not saying we. I'm saying the people nowadays, what's going on, right? You all, alhamdulillah, do because you are lovers of Ahlul Bayt. You understand that. That's how we move forward. That's how we live. That's how we jive. That's how we do things. It's this love that's taking us everywhere, making us do things the way things are. So my kids, youngsters, this is for you. A lot of times we need to understand how Allah has taught Tawheed. How did Allah teach Tawheed? At the beginning of Surah Baqarah, He gives the explanation of Tawheed by a practical demonstration. Practical demonstration, He gives the example of Tawheed. Understand what Tawheed is. You know, Allah says, you know, I'm making this person, Adam. I'm creating him. The angels disputed with Allah. Said, Allah, why are you creating this person from earth? Because he's going to cause problems. Allah says, well, you know, you don't know what I know. And then he showed it to them and they accepted it. And after that, Allah said, all right, everyone, now you know that this Adam is your leader and your Khalifa and your Imam. So bow down and make sajda to him. So what happened? All the dwellers of heaven made sajda to Adam. They prostrated before Adam. We all know this. And as I said, for those people who have heard it before, too bad. You gotta hear it again, right? But this is really important to emphasize these basic things of our deen to children, to youngsters. Because they need to know these things. My friends, what happened? Everyone prostrated to Adam except for Shaitan. He's the only one who refused and said no. He did not prostrate to Adam. Everyone prostrated to Adam. So now, if we do a poll, and if we take a survey of all the people, and ask all the people at that time, if, you know, for example, I was a journalist, and I had to take a poll and survey of all the people then, after this event was done, so I would ask, so, have you prostrated, have you made sajda to anyone before, other than Allah? You know what all the angels will say? Yes. Yes. Now, who's the only one who can truthfully say that he has never made sajda to anyone other than Allah? Shaitan, right? Shaitan is the only one who can say, hey, you know what? I did not make sajda to anyone but Allah. All the angels have prostrated to Adam. Their heads have been bowed down and they have gone into sajda in prostration before Ghayrullah. Farther than Allah, look at them. Now, if you know I was the judge, and they should be glad that I'm not, I would say, hey man, you all, you know, are bad. You all are bad, and you all are mushrik, and you must die. Yes, you all must die because you have done shirk. Right? But here's what happens. Now, who is the kafir and who is the Muslim? Who's the kafir? Really, look at it. Angels prostrated to Adam and Allah is calling them a Muslim. Shaitan refused to make sajda to Adam and Allah is calling him a kafir. You kafir, there you, who didn't bow down before Adam. But Allah, he's not God. He's not God. How can I bow down before him? So now what happened, my friend? Understand this. This is the beginning of Tawheed. This is where Tawheed becomes relevant and expresses itself. You know, for example, you want to see obedience? Right? Obedience comes when you give a hukum, a command. When you give a command, then obedience is tested. That's how it's tested. You try it with your kids. I know you do it every day, but try it with them. And understand this. For example, you ask your kids, do you obey me? The kids will say, yes, we do. Am I your father? Or who's your daddy? You are. Good. So you listen to me. Yes. Okay. You know what? These are all statements. Now you tell him, all right, 6 a.m., time to wake up. You see, now you gave a command. 6 a.m., it's time to wake up. Now that child's obedience is tested. The hukum is there. Why are you doing this? In order to see whether you actually believe in me or not. That you actually believe in me or not. Allah brought in this hukum, this wilayat, this nabuwat, this imamat to see whether you believe in Allah or not. My friend, understand this. Tawheed is bowing down to your prophet. Bowing your heart before the prophet and the imams. Then Allah is saying, now you are obeying me. Understand this. This is what Tawheed is. The idea of Tawheed, my friends, was in love. And Allah wanted us to love more. That's why He gave us more things to go through in order that we can prove our love again and again and again. This is where it comes from, my friends. Don't have a wrong idea of Tawheed. If those people, you know, our Muslim brothers, the Wahhabis, you know, still, you know, I mean, they're part of our ummah, you know. Rasulullah made them our brothers with special needs. So what happens is that now we have to deal with them. If they have a wrong understanding of Allah and Tawheed, it doesn't mean that we change our path of love to fit theirs. Our job is to educate them in order to understand what the path of love is. My friends, we don't need to go back there. They are the ones who need to come up to us. We don't need to conform to their ignorance. They need to live with the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt. We have to bring them along, not go with them. And this is what's happening right now. Whenever, for example, we say something about Imam Ali, right away they say, you make him bigger than the Prophet. Really, we do. Now, we know we don't, but they say you do. I talk about Imam Ali and I say that, listen, Imam Ali, and there are hadiths regarding that. Imam Ali, when a jinn, one of the shayateen, who tried very hard to do his work but gave up, so came to the Prophet and said that, Ya Rasulullah, you know, I give up. Okay, it's good. What made you give up? He said, listen, every time I went to a prophet and this and that, there was this one person, and this one person came and he stopped me from doing my job. Every one of us, every time we went there, all the prophets that were there, we stopped him from doing our job. And he always foiled our plans. He always was there, this and that. So he said, all right, you know what, I can't do it anymore. And it said that at that moment, in that gathering, Imam Ali walked in. And as soon as that jinn saw Imam Ali walked in, he says, that's the person that I saw in every period of history foiling our plans. Now, some people nowadays listen to Astaghfirullah, what are you trying to say? Wow. Now, if you know a Wahhabi does that, I'm not baffled at all. Alright, man, you have a long way to go. But when you see a Shia get baffled by this, now I have an issue. So, brother, ye are supposed to love and learn the path of love. What is wrong? Aren't you able to understand how come? He says, well, that looks a lot like, you know, you're trying to make Imam Ali as Allah. Listen, if you understood Tawheed, you would never say that. It's only because you don't understand Tawheed, you think that everything that Allah has made great is looking like Allah. My friends, nothing can be like Allah. No matter what Allah gives to them, if Imam Ali says that Saluni Qablan Tafkaduni, ask me whatever you want, I will answer you. I know the path of the ghaib, of the unseen, more than the path of this apparent world. Ask me about the past. I will tell you everything about the past. Who was the leader of what caravan? I will tell you that. Ask me about the future. I will tell you every party that's going to rise up in the future until the day of judgment. I will tell you all about that. And when we say that, when Imam Ali is saying that, so here we are thinking, oh, you know, he has ilmul ghaib. My friends, if Allah gives someone ilmul ghaib, isn't he able to? And if he gives it away, does it make him any less? My friend, understand this. These are the typical arguments of Tawheed that are brought in front of our children to confuse them. We have to make them understand that, listen, Allah is different than everyone else. Allah can give the authority of the universe to anyone, but they will in no way become like Allah. Why? Because it's Allah who gave them that. It's Allah who's giving. It's not theirs. It's Allah who's giving. So if Allah makes Ali the best, so then what happens? And we don't raise Ali, you know, we don't raise Ali above the Prophet. Really, we don't. Well, we do. Oh, we do. All right, you know, we do. I agree, we do, you know. But let me say it with confidence, right? Let me say it with confidence. I'm telling everyone right now, whoever's listening to this speech, that yes, we do make Ali greater than the Prophet. We do that. We do that because it's true. It's true. Ali is greater than the Prophet. Your Prophet, not our understanding of Prophet. Your understanding is messed up, so what can we do about it? So now when we speak of Ali, he looks bigger than him. But our understanding of the Prophet is such that Ali is saying, Ana abdun min abide Muhammad. I am a slave of Muhammad. These are basic things that every Shia should know. These are things that Shia should know, and I'm repeating these basic things. I apologize, but the thing is that when I see youngsters going online and having friends and they can't explain these things, it's because we stop talking about them. We stop reiterating them. And we need to go back to these basics and then grow from there, my friends. And then grow from there. You know? I mean, you know, for example, the flag of Hazrat Abbas. When you look at the flag of Hazrat Abbas, everyone's saying, oh, you know, what is all this? When I read hadith, I say that Shias, when they will come to Imam Zamana, they will come with their flags in from every region. They will come with their flags to join the army. What are these flags? What are these flags? We don't even have a flag. We don't even have respect for a flag. How? What are you going to take to join Imam Zamana? Huh? What? Friends, we are in a movement. There's a mission going on. And that mission, there's a flag that stands for that cause. And that's the flag that we work for and we live for and that we die for. That's the cause that we are living for. It symbolizes that. And hence we need to go forward with that. When the Imam will come, now we have to go with those flags and join the Imam. You know, and here we are unable to explain to our children, and these children are now lost. This is what's happening in a community, right? You know, there's one community where, you know, you have a lot of Americans, converts, reverts, right? A lot of them. And then you have our people, you know, immigrants, Muslims, Shias, them. And now what happened is that we were talking about the flags and this and that, and we said, you know what, we need to make our flag to represent our allegiance to the Imam. So we put the alam and all of that, we got together, and we all like, you know what, this is what we need to respect and hold it in high place. And we all did that. And you know who was upset at that? The immigrant youth. They're saying, oh, If we do that, then, you know, what the Wahhabis are saying online will be true. This is what they're saying. And the Americans are like, no, I don't care what the Wahhabis are saying. This is our flag for the Imam. And we'll fight with it. Right? And we'll go forward with it. And they're holding up the flag. My friends, you see, this is what's happening right now. Because we aren't able to translate our religion for our youngsters, but they can understand now, they are being affected by the language of the Salafis and the Wahhabis online who are beating them up on these chat rooms and all these online. This is what's happening. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. So inshallah, you know, this is few things that I wanted to say. It's already over the time. I will stop myself here, but it's one thing I'll mention so that inshallah we can take this as a gift. Right? And take this as a gift so that we can actually, you know, truly understand what this is. My friends, you know, the Imam is coming. Imam is coming, right? And there's a lot of things that we need to do. A lot of things that we need to do, practically do. For us over here, as the Shia of Ali, the Shia of Ahlul Bayt, what we need to do is open our home, which is the home of the Imam, to those people that Allah wants to bring in. You're here, my friends, to be a host. The guests haven't come yet. They're coming. They're coming. And when you become a good host, represent your Imam in the right way, then those guests that are out there that Allah wants to bring in, the doors will be open for them and they will come. And when they will come, we have a job of training them and getting them ready. And this process is going to go on. Let's all get together on this night, which is the birth of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And make a pledge with Amir al-Mu'mineen. Make a pledge, all of you. A pledge that we will stand together on that wilayah that you gave us. And that we will work. And we will lay down our lives and our wealth. And believe in Allah and we'll believe in you. Until the day of judgment, until the Imam comes back. My friends, I want to see the Imam. I don't know about you. I want to see him with my own eyes. I want to see his face. And if you are with me, then let's make that pledge together. That Imam, I want to see you. And let me do everything I can so I can get the opportunity, the chance to see your face. And when that day happens, I will lose every wish. And I don't want any other wish but that I have seen you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq and a blessing to be on the right paths, the wisdom to understand his guidance, hasten the reappearance of our Imam, make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
دم عارفی فرزانه فرمون اگر دوزخ به زیر پوست داری نسوزی گر علی را دوست داری وگر مهر علی در سینه اتنی بسوزی گر هزاران روزداری به سوزی که هزاران پوست داری. مولا علی جان، مولا علی جان، امیر المؤمنین یا شاه مردان، یا شاه مردان، یا شاه مردان، دل ناشاد ما را شاد و گردان. مولا علی جان، مولا علی جان، علی سر حلقه اهل یقین است، مسیح و هادی دین مبین است. به محشر زاتش قهر الهی ولای او بده بلایم و به دهست نه هستی نه. مولا علی جان، مولا علی جان،
امیر المؤمنین یا شاه مردان، یا شاه مردان، یا شاه مردان، دل ناشاد ما شاد و گردان. مولا علی جان، مولا علی جان، اگر دست علی دست خدا نیست، چرا دست دگر مشکل گشانیست؟ اگر دست علی دست دست دگر مشکل گشانیست؟ چرا دست دگر مشکل گشانیست؟ مولا علی جان، مولا علی جان، امیر المؤمنین یا شاه مردان، یا شاه شاه مردان، دل ناشاد ما را شاد و گردان. مولا علی جان، مولا علی جان،
هر آن کس عاشق کوی علی شد، دلش آینه روی علی شد. محشر دیده یه هر کس به زوری، مرا چشمان و دل سوی علی شد، مرا چشمان و دل سوی علی شد. مولا علی جان، مولا علی جان،
امیر المؤمنین یا شاه مردان، یا شاه مردان، یا شاه مردان، دل ناشاد ما را شاد و گردان. مولا علی جان، مولا علی جان، به سر دارم ز مولا سایه اش، علی آن مقتدا همایه اش، به عشق شیر حق داده به ماشین، به دامان محبت مادر اش، به دامان محبت مادر اش. مولا علی جان، مولا مولا علی جان، امیر المؤمنین، یا شاه مردان، یا شاه مردان، یا شاه مردان، دل ناشاد ما را شاد و گردان. امیر المؤمنین، یا شاه مردان، یا شاه مردان، یا شاه مردان، دل ناشاد ما را شاد و گردان. مولا علی جان، مولا علی جان، امیر المؤمنین، یا شاه مردان، یا شاه مردان، یا شاه مردان، دل ناشاد ما را شاد و گردان.